streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Public health experts warning about a surge in measles in the U.S.
An elementary school near Fort Lauderdale is now reporting 5 students with measles. Meanwhile, 9 cases have been reported in the Philadelphia area since December, all involving unvaccinated people. So far this year, at least 1 case has been reported in 12 states. Measles spreads in the air when an infected person coughs or sneezes. Symptoms include fever, cough, runny nose, and a distinctive rash. But severe cases can lead to brain swelling, pneumonia, or even death.
ABC's Allison Kosick. Big doings in banking. Capital One announced that Discover and it are merging, an all-stock deal in excess of $35 billion. 37 million people across California are under flood alerts from the latest atmospheric river storm to hit the state. 2 to 5 inches of rain for lower elevations. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagihau. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has new legislative district maps that undo Republican gerrymanders going back more than a decade. Governor Evers signed the new boundaries into law on Monday. He says the results will be a legislature that reflects the will of the voters.
Wisconsin is not a red state. It is not a blue state. Wisconsin is a purple state, and I believe our map should reflect that basic fact.
Evers plans to ask the state Supreme Court to make the maps effective right away instead of waiting until the fall campaigns. Owners of electric and hybrid cars in Wisconsin are getting new license plate stickers. The stickers are required by law to help first responders know what to expect in emergency situations. The stickers should arrive in the mail by June. I'm Nate Wagihaut, Civic Media News.
The Brewers warming up in Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers getting ready for their first game in spring training when they face the Padres Saturday. The team re-signing pitcher Brandon Woodruff to a 2-year deal as he recovers from surgery on his shoulder. NFL, the Packers hiring a new strength and conditioning coach. He is Aaron Hill, who's been the 49ers assistant coach the past 4 seasons. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard met with reporters and was asked, what do you say to a team that's dropped out of the top 25 rankings after losing 5 of their last 6 games?
No, I think there's, you look at, we've had other teams go through it too. I don't look at, because we don't talk much when we've won 5 in a row or 6 in a row or 7 of 8. And I don't worry about or talk about, we've lost X number of how many, or we've won 1 in a row or 2 in a row. Let's get ready for Maryland and take it one day at a time and one game at a time.
That's the Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to 46 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A little more fog possible overnight tonight. Our low 27 tomorrow. A little patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny. 47 on Thursday, sunshine with a high of 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Down from the Devil's Advocates. Tune in Tuesday, 4 to 6, more coverage of all the goings-on, the great state of Wisconsin and across the country. The Devil's Advocates.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
M the Zone.
If you've ever driven a tractor, you're her friend. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Holy crow, I thought the weather turned out beautiful yesterday. A little bit of a surprise as far as the warmth was concerned, and more on the way today. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So glad to be along with you on a Tuesday morning. How did you spend your day yesterday? I took a walk with the dogs, not necessarily something I always get a chance to do. Are you noticing things starting to green up? Right around your house, maybe daffodils, crocus, those kinds of things. Why don't you let me know? Our Farm Talk text line is always open to you. You got a question about something we're discussing on the air, let me know. The toll-free number to call or text, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You tuck that in your pocket. Keep that around because I like to hear from you all day long. So like I said, we are going to have some clouds this morning that generally are going to give way to sunshine this afternoon. Today, 51 is our expected high. Winds might be a little noticeable out of the south, about 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow and 55. Thursday, cloudy and 54. Friday, back to reality, partly cloudy, 38 degrees. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist is on the way with more weather details. Here's a quick rundown on some of the other topics we want you to take away today. We are focused in on the upcoming deadline for applications to the Century Sesquicentennial Farm Salutes that happened during the Wisconsin State Fair. March 1st, the deadline on that. Charity Seebecker's got some details on the way. First-time home buyers, if you want to buy a piece of paradise out in the country, there's a few things you should know. It's different than buying a house in town. You've got to maintain your own well. You've got to maintain your own septic. Some of these houses that you're looking at probably have outdated wiring. It can be kind of a gauntlet to make it through. But considering the available inventory, one of our loan officers says, get your paperwork ready now. We're talking with Steve LeFew this morning from Compere Financial. Ethanol, another topic for discussion down at the state capitol. Our Wisconsin ethanol producers want you to know E15 coming to a pump near you if it's not already there. And catching up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Coming off a three-day weekend, what are traders talking about? It's all on the way.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin partners with schools throughout the state to highlight programs that share the stories from the farm to the nutritious dairy products that land on the table for students to enjoy, thanks to your checkoff dollars. Janet Clark, dairy farmer and chair of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board, explains the impact that your checkoff dollars have.
As a dairy farmer, I love being able to go to sporting events, even at the local level, and seeing our partnership with WIAA and that chocolate milk as a recovery drink. And being able to then go to the state tournament and see that chocolate milk available for these athletes and being able to share with them the benefits of what dairy has for them. It's being able to connect with that next generation of consumer, showing them that not only is dairy really good for you, but dairy farming is really great for our state, for our community, and for our environment. I love being able to be involved in Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and our checkoff program. The programs that they are offering to our consumers in order to market on behalf of us Wisconsin dairy farmers is next to none and award-winning.
To learn more, check out wisconsindairy.org.
So I think we've all become familiar with phrases like Airbnb, VRBO, maybe even glamping if you're into the rural community. But now here's a new one to add to the list. Harvest host. It's a concept that started during the pandemic, but is catching on as we move into spring 2024 right here in Wisconsin, as well as across the countryside. Harvest Hope basically allows you to allow people with RVs or campers to come to your property and hang out for a couple days. They take care of everything, but in return, they pay you for the opportunity. And if you've got a product that you'd like to sell, fresh vegetables, maybe some baked goods, well, that might be the upside for you as well. I talked about it with Joel Holland. He is the CEO of Harvest Host. And I asked him to tell me a little bit more about how this adventure got started.
Yeah, so Harvest Host was actually inspired by a program in France called France Passion. They had started this program probably almost two decades ago. And the idea was connecting RVers with wineries. And these wineries wanted more business. The RVers wanted a really pretty place to spend the night. And the agreement was, you can stay here for free. If you buy a couple bottles, everybody wins. You know, bring that back to the U.S., RVing is a very large category. You know, there, by many estimates, almost 12 million RV owners in the U.S. And, you know, campgrounds are fine. Walmart parking lots are fine. But what's better than parking among the vines or at a farm, right? And so that was the whole concept with Harvest Host. Let's connect these millions of RVers with all these wonderful farms and farmers who are looking to, you know, sell more product so that everyone can win. So that was a very basic premise. And it's grown quite a bit over the years. We now have a 250,000 members and over 5,000 hosts in our program.
Very interesting. Did you have a background in hospitality or a connection to agriculture? Why did this really seem to resonate with you, Joel?
You know, it resonated with me as an RVer. So my background was actually in technology, and I had built a company in the digital space, you know, a digital video company. My wife and I then hit the road after I was done with that company in an RV, and relatively spontaneously kind of went out and said, hey, let's go see what the country's all about. We've spent too many days on airplanes flying coast to coast. Let's go see what's in the heart. And RV is a great way to do that. We ended up loving it so much that we spent 2 years RVing through all the lower 48 states and trying to see everything. We just really wanted to see what every state had to offer. And along that way, got a little bit bored with your typical campground, right? Like, they're utilitarian. And we're looking at all these beautiful vistas and farms and wineries and breweries and golf courses thinking, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we could stay there? We'd love to support the proprietors. We love farm fresh produce. We love wine. Let's see if we can put two and two together. And so Harvest Host was really the solution to that.
Now, to make it a success, you had to have cooperators. How were those early cooperators approached? You know, every great idea is still going to have some wrinkles along with the way. Take me back to 2010 when you had to bring this concept to somebody that was going to allow strangers onto their property. How did you get that jump started?
Yeah, so I was lucky. I learned a long time ago, it's better to do things you're good at and let others do the things that they're best at. And as my wife and I were traveling around, it was actually 2016 when we were doing this traveling around. And I thought, hey, what a novel concept. Let's get farms and wineries into a program and connect them with RVers. That's how I found this small program at the time called Harvest Hosts. And it had been started by Don and Kim Green in Prescott, Arizona. And they had essentially done exactly what I wanted to do, but they had a head start and they had 600 locations already in the program. So I reached out to them and said, hey, I love this concept. It is cool. Would you have any interest in selling it and retiring so that we can try to take it to the next level? So, you know, the short answer is Don and Kim did all the hard work at the beginning. And I don't know how they did it, because to approach a proprietor and say, hey, we don't have a business yet, but one day there's going to be something here. Would you like to join? That's tough. When I took over 600 locations, I hired a team and I brought on a team to start recruiting. And they would reach out to farms and say, here's how it works. It costs nothing for you to join. We'll never charge you a dime to be in the program. Our members are going to support you when they visit. They're going to buy, you know, an average of $50 per night in produce or whatever, agritours and whatever you're selling. And it'll end up being an extra $15,000 to $20,000 in revenue for you every year. And we're not going to take any of that. So that was the pitch. And we really hired a team who did a good job of going out and getting to know the farmers. And one of the first ways we did that was through agritourism bureaus and trade groups, state by state, and some of them are national. And we really started to try to be present in all of these knowledge sharing areas that farmers were going.
Wow. And like you said, tremendous success. I want to walk through the pandemic and thoughts that came through your mind at the beginning when we didn't know a whole lot, and then as it cascaded through over the years. You were already kind of established, like just getting the wheels rolling as any entrepreneur. You know, the beginning is always that frothy, fast time. Tell me what happened with Harvest Hosts and your team, your approach, once the pandemic became part of everybody's lives.
That's right. So, Yeah, we were chugging along. So I took over May 2018. We really started hitting our stride in 2019, and it was awesome. We were adding hosts. We were adding tens of thousands of new members. We had really turned on advertising. We'd hired a large team. And then the pandemic hit. So my initial thoughts, without cursing, were, you know, oh, butternut squash. Like, here we go. Like, this is the worst. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, and I think everybody across the country, probably around the world, had the same thought at the same time. We don't know what's going to happen. This is really scary stuff. March, you know, 2020, everything shut down. We saw membership completely dry up. We saw people stop traveling because they were told to stay home. But then we realized that, you know, people love to travel, and like, travel is a super important part of life for most of us. And the safe way to get back to traveling is going to be by road, right? I knew it was going to take a while for airplanes, but I figured people are going to get back in those RVs and they're going to start traveling as soon as they're allowed to. And so we were ready. You know, in May, we launched a large advertising campaign basically saying RV travel is the way to safely, scenically travel while supporting the local economy. People were excited to get back on the road, and then they were really excited to get back to supporting these, you know, local businesses and establishments that are so much fun to visit.
Joel Holland with a great idea. It has now manifested itself into a company he calls Harvest Host, and you could get involved. Right now, there's about 6 locations in Wisconsin participating in the Harvest Host program. As you can imagine, you'll find out more online, harvesthost.com. Coming up next, finding out what's coming our way weather-wise. So far, it looks like a beautiful day on the way. Stand by.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for Black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the March protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for Black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the March protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You know what we're talking about. These warmer temperatures mean that it's tougher for us to try to keep them in storage. Mike Kopas is a senior agronomist with the Wysocki Family Companies up in central Wisconsin, and he kind of explains what the ideal would be in trying to hang on to Wisconsin potatoes that were grown last year until we're ready to buy them as late as August this year. Well, we thought we were going to have it. He says the temperatures normally are about 40 degrees when it comes to those potatoes that are in storage. And he said when it gets to be as warm as it is outside, they have a difficult time. They don't really have a thermostat to cool those potatoes, so they open the doors and allow air to come in. He said people have to remember that potatoes are a living organism. They have to be treated as such. So if you're trying to keep those potatoes for as long as possible, his advice is keep them dark and keep them cool. He said if these potatoes try to respond to the weather that we've got outside, then they basically are going to want to grow. Yeah, that's what they're all about, trying to propagate this year's bunch of potatoes. Let's talk about weather. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist joining us now this morning. You know, that's one thing. We always have potatoes, it seems, Buck and his love of hanging on to everything. But this is the time of the year where it does get a little challenging to try to manage how long you're going to be able to hang on to them, huh?
That's right. Well, I was thinking it sounds like me every day trying to keep me in the dark and cool.
You are more manageable that way. That is for sure. Yeah. And, you know, people forget those potatoes that we harvested last year. They're still going to be going to Wisconsin's fresh markets up through end of July into August, as long as we do our job right. Today is going to be tricky for those folks. I mean, it's one thing when you're in the 40s, but today it looks like we've got a bullseye on 50s, huh?
Yeah, the more mild air is building in, Pam. I mean, temps are going to push up into the low, even mid-50s today and tomorrow. There's a dense fog advisory in the east this morning, especially eastern Fond du Lac County, Sheboygan County, Washington, Ozaukee, Waukesha, and Milwaukee. A foggy start this morning, a little freezing fog in some areas too, but that's a sign of that mild air melting our snow and ice and the like. A little haziness, kind of a glaze on some things in eastern Wisconsin. Otherwise, the warm-up today, no big systems really trying to organize, just mild air building into the area. A weak frontal passage through Wisconsin, especially late tomorrow, will signal just a little bit of a cool down Thursday and Friday. Nothing drastic, still above normal, even when I say cool down. And then those temperatures respond in the weekend. Back up into the 40s, could be some 50s into early next week. The mild air is going to continue through the end of February. I'll have our forecast details in just a bit.
With the Compeer Financial Patronage Program, we share earnings with member owners of our cooperative. It's our way of saying, we are here. Here so you can pay down your loan faster or make a new investment in your operation. And that family vacation you've been putting off? Yep, we're here for that too. Learn more at compeer.com/patronage. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier, Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today. All right, buddy, let me know when I got to start slathering on the sunscreen. Goodness gracious, this is pretty amazing for the 20th of February.
Yeah, we are definitely warming up. I mean, low 30s normal right now, 33 or so. So today, mostly sunny skies, low 50s almost everywhere. That dense fog advisory in the east and southeast this morning. Be careful, could freeze on and be a little slick. But more sun breaks out through the day. South winds 5 to 15 really sounds pretty mild. Partly cloudy overnight. We hold back near freezing with the southwest wind 5 to 10. Partly sunny Wednesday, more warm up. Low and even some mid-50s. I'd say central Wisconsin, probably warmest in the mid-50s. Southwest winds at 5. That cool front drops through. Partly sunny Thursday, a little cooler. Upper 40s and low 50s with the north winds at 5 to 15. Even a little cooler for Friday. Low 40s, Pam. And then we turn it around to ready by Sunday and into next week.
A little bit of rain on the forecast from what I'm seeing for next week, too.
And there's that chance looking to pop up toward Monday. There could be a little shower off to our southeast even into late Wednesday or Thursday.
All right.
Not quite here.
Well, we'll figure it out. Thanks, buddy. We'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for. Don't forget the talk text line available. Let me know what's happening in your neck of the woods. Gardening already on your mind? Maybe those crocus or tulips are starting to come out big time? 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Our talk text line available to you anytime. All right, so the Dow Jones Industrial Average after a three-day weekend is down more than 140 points. Commodities, though, for corn and beans are up. Talking about it with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend yet this morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Public health experts warning about a surge in measles in the U.S.
An elementary school near Fort Lauderdale is now reporting 5 students with measles. Meanwhile, 9 cases have been reported in the Philadelphia area since December, all involving unvaccinated people. So far this year, at least 1 case has been reported in 12 states. Measles spreads in the air when an infected person coughs or sneezes. Symptoms include fever, cough, runny nose, and a distinctive rash. But severe cases can lead to brain swelling, pneumonia, or even death.
ABC's Allison Cusick. Big doings in banking. Capital One announced that Discover and it are merging, an all-stock deal in excess of $35 billion. 37 million people across California are under flood alerts from the latest atmospheric river storm to hit the state. 2 to 5 inches of rain for lower elevations. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagihau. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has new legislative district maps that undo Republican gerrymanders going back more than a decade. Governor Evers signed the new boundaries into law on Monday. He says the results will be a legislature that reflects the will of the voters.
Wisconsin is not a red state. It is not a blue state. Wisconsin is a purple state, and I believe our map should reflect that basic fact.
Evers plans to ask the state Supreme Court to make the maps effective right away instead of waiting until the fall campaigns. Owners of electric and hybrid cars in Wisconsin are getting new license plate stickers. The stickers are required by law to help first responders know what to expect in emergency situations. The stickers should arrive in the mail by June. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers warming up in Arizona. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers getting ready for their first game in spring training when they face the Padres Saturday. The team re-signing pitcher Brandon Woodruff to a two-year deal as he recovers from surgery on his shoulder. NFL, the Packers hiring a new strength and conditioning coach. He is Aaron Hill, who's been the 49ers assistant coach the past four seasons. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard met with reporters and was asked, what do you say to a team that's dropped out of the top 25? Five rankings after losing five of their last six games.
No, I think there's, you look at, we've had other teams go through it too. I don't look at, because we don't talk much when we've won five in a row or six in a row or seven of eight. And I don't worry about or talk about, oh, we've lost X number of how many, or we've won one in a row or two in a row. Let's get ready for Maryland and take it one day at a time and one game at a time.
That's the Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Sunny and a little warmer today. We'll get to 46 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A little more fog possible overnight tonight. Our low 27 tomorrow. A little patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny 47 on Thursday. Sunshine with a high of 46. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination, but there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History Story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, philosopher you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics.
Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Chucky was the one that ended up taking it. In that situation, I probably try and get the ball to AJ Storr in some way to allow him to try and drive and be aggressive.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Who needs an alarm clock when you've got the farm babe? Pam Yonke and the Farm Report.
I'll do what I can to help you rise and shine. The weather should really help you out today. Morning again, everybody. Fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke. Tickled to have you along with us. I'm even more delighted to give you this weather forecast. Yes, I know it's the 20th of February. Not what we expect, but I'll take it. Some clouds this morning, then they'll burn off. Sunshine and 51 are expected high today. It doesn't end there. Tomorrow, 55. Thursday, 54. Before we dip back to reality on Friday, 38 degrees. Stick around. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. We're coming off 3 days worth of rest and relaxation for traders in Chicago. What are they thinking about? Where are they focusing their attention this morning? Corn and soybeans right now are trading a little higher. John's going to break it down for us and give you some insights. Stick around. All right. So like I said, today is the 20th day of February. On this day back in 1943, the All-American Girls Baseball League was formed. It actually started with franchises in Kenosha and Racine. And of course, it was the inspiration behind the movie A League of Their Own, starring Gina Davis, Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell. You know what I'm talking about. That all started with the All-American Girls League on this day in 1943. On this day in 1962, the first U.S. citizen to orbit the Earth landed in the Atlantic. And who was it? John Glenn. He spent 5 hours in space flight, but it came almost a year after the Soviet Union had already accomplished that. Still, John Glenn makes the first orbit of Earth on this day back in 1962. Happy birthday to former Canadian hockey great Phil Esposito, 82 years young. Patty Hearst, my goodness, does that take some of us back? Patty Hearst is 70 years old today. Cindy Crawford, 58, and you can't tell it by looking at her. And also, Rihanna, she is turning 36, and now you know. I tell you what you don't know when it comes to first-time home buyers, especially if you want to buy properties in rural Wisconsin, can really cost you. Not just on the short term, on the long term. Remember, a lot of those properties you're looking at in rural Wisconsin come with additional responsibilities, like maintaining your own well, maintaining your own septic. That facility might have aged wiring, all things that as a new home buyer, you have to think about and you have to be ready to pay for when it comes to inspections. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a special first-time home buyers webinar hosted by Compure Financial for anybody looking at buying that little slice of paradise out in the country. I talked about it with Steve LeFou. He's a loan officer with Compure Financial, and he says you really need to get your ducks in a row if you want to be ready to take action when those properties come available.
So for the first-time home buyer program, a lot of people are wondering, what type of property can we purchase as part of this program? Because a lot of low or no first-time home buyer programs have certain requirements of it can only be this many acres or it can only be this old or only in a certain area. And so we're going to go through in the webinar a really high-level overview of not only our program but other programs that are out there and what you can and can't do with some of those programs. And we feel like the Compure Financial 0% down first-time homebuyer program is more of a catch-all for a lot of different scenarios and properties out in the country. So we'll be talking about that February 21st at 1 p.m.
Now, what can I do to prepare for that, Steve? What kinds of documentation will Compeer look for if I've been thinking about this and maybe my husband and I have been kind of looking at listings or something like that? How can I be fully prepared to not only tap into the information during the webinar, but get ready for that first appointment with someone like you?
Well, certainly join the webinar. We'll go through a lot of good stuff there. Before, during, and after the webinar, things that you're going to want to understand is any lender, including Compeer, will look at your credit score and will look at a debt-to-income ratio. So get a good feel for your own personal budget. I think before Compeer or I tell you whether or not you can afford something, you should have a good idea on your own already. So sit down at that kitchen table, take a look at what your income was in 2023 or what it is now, and then go through your expenses. Make the budget all the way through and figure out, okay, how much room do we have in there for a new housing payment plus taxes and insurance? So we're going to go through those various programs, budgeting, some information about credit, and then features of the program, how it works, how it's structured, and what you can use it for.
A little friendly advice from Steve LeFou. He's a loan officer with Compeer Financial. If you're a first-time home buyer and you really have your heart set on finding a place out in the country, you need to tap into this knowledge. 1 o'clock tomorrow, it's all online. It's all free. Compeer.com is where you can get registered. But like I said, remember, when you decide you want to live out in the country, it comes with additional responsibilities, that well, that septic, that wiring, and those are all going to cost you a little bit extra when it comes to overall inspections. So do your due diligence for sure. Compeer.com, 1 o'clock tomorrow, that seminar. Let's keep rolling. Hey, don't forget, March 1st is the deadline for applications to recognize our century and sesquicentennial farms and homes all across the state of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin State Fair recognizes those operations during the Wisconsin State Fair, and we're a part of that. We'd love for you to share your story, but the applications have to be in by March 1st. Charity Seebecker joins us now with a quick review of the century sesquicentennial Farm and Home Recognition Program.
Applications for the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Awards are due March 1st, and Jill Owen-Ness with the Wisconsin State Fair Park explains more about the program and how you can be recognized for this great milestone.
So the Century Farm Program started in 1948 when Wisconsin celebrated its centennial celebration, and that's year there was a 23-day Wisconsin State Fair as part of the festivities, and that's when the program started. So when Wisconsin celebrated its sesquicentennial in 1998, we started the 150-year farm program. So they both correspond with the state.
Tell me about your involvement with the program.
What we do here at Wisconsin State Fair is we run the we do the applications. So most people can go right to their county agent or the register of deeds in their county, or they can give us a call and we'll mail them out an application. And then you fill it out. We'll have Casey on staff here does the entry of all of them. She does an awesome job. We review each application. And it's just really important when we do the application, the most important thing is the month, day, and year of each transfer. So we want to know the day, the month, and the year that, say, Grandpa bought the property. Then when he turned it over to the next generation, the month, day, and year. And then the next month, day, and year, and the next generation takes over. That's what we're really looking for on the application. And then we always encourage everyone to make a copy of it. So they have it for their family records. It does take some time to figure everything out and get it all filled out. It's a one-page application, front and back, and then just make a copy. So then when you go for the 150, you have all the information. You can share it with your family.
That was Jill Alvanes with the Wisconsin State Fair Park. Applications for the award can be found on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. Since the program began, there have been over 9,000 century farms recognized and over 1,000 sesquicentennial farms. Apply today and add your family farm to that list. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Love telling those stories. Thanks, Charity. All right, markets and overnight electronic trade this morning so far are trending higher for corn and soybeans. Talking with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, in just a moment here. Right now, December corn's up a penny at 4.59. November soybeans, they're up six, currently at 11.54. July wheat, though, still lagging behind, down 3 cents, 5.58 a bushel. We've got March class 3 milk up a penny at 16.85, but the April milk has yet to move. It closed 4 cents lower on Friday, still stands at 17.09 a hundredweight. All right, coming up next, it's not so much the numbers, but the story behind the numbers. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joins us to tell us more about those stories in a moment. As always, folks, if you can't hear us on the radio, but you want to follow up, pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. You can hear all of our conversations posted right there on our podcast. And as I said earlier, don't be afraid to send us messages. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook, or our Farm Talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. John Heinberg's up next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram. Tune into The Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Us live this morning. Okay, buddy, so talk to me. I saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average seems to be under pressure. At the same time, we've got corn and soybeans trading higher. Where's the news on a Tuesday morning?
Well, a little bit of a headline that popped through last night, an unexpected cut by the Chinese central bank in terms of its interest rates, just to kind of help promote the lending sector as well as the retail sector. Again, that's got the market a little fired up, I think, on the commodity side. Again, anytime that we see news over there regarding the world's largest buyer of commodity goods, things of this nature, obviously cutting interest rates, frees up money. Does that lead to more buying? Again, the computers just trigger it, and we see some some buying going into the market. So we'll have to see how things carry out through the course of the day, you know, because the picture really hasn't still changed here in terms of the supplies and the competition from global prices, things of that nature. You know, as the funds continue to push this market to the downside for corn and soybeans, you know, maybe we can see a little bit of support in soybeans. We're seeing some of the Brazilian prices start to come off those lows now as they're getting a little further into harvest. So that's something we'll be watching closely, is where that harvest pace is. And maybe that gives us a little better picture of what's going to be available for beans out there in the next handful of months, you know, with those competing supplies out of Brazil.
So last week, John, there was an ag outlook that occurred out in Washington, D.C. Usually it's a newsmaker, if not for the people that show up to address the group. Some of the trends, something you want to follow through. What did you take away from that last week?
You know, realistically, that outlook forum 5 years ago was not even major news, but the way the market trades now, where it just looks for grabs and headlines everywhere, and the computers really just grab information, and it does become a tradable event now. You know, basically, those are projections. Guys sitting around a room saying, what are we planting? You know, so for us, it was, you know, what are we going to see for the trends? And the trend that we're most concerned about, and obviously the market is too, is this constant feeling of growing supplies. And we see that in both corn and soybeans. You know, acreage numbers, 91 million acres of corn, 87.5 million acres of beans. That's fairly within what everybody thought. But we're looking at those carryouts. Next year's corn carryout, 2.5 billion bushels, gives us a stocks to use of 17.3%. That's the largest stocks to use since 2006 for this type of projection. Again, just tells you how much is out there on the supply side. And then soybeans getting back over the 400 million bushel, 435 million bushel mark for projected, again, carryover projections. We haven't seen that for a handful of years. You know, so again, that just weighs on the market overall, and we need to start seeing some things change. Now, obviously, again, those numbers are going to change very, very quickly based on demand, based on the acres that we're going to plant in March with the intentions report. You know, those are going to be the key numbers that we'll follow going forward.
All right. So I'm purely selfish here. Got to make some crop insurance decisions here in the next couple of weeks. What can you tell me? Give me guidance. I mean, I'm not happy with what I see in Chicago today.
Yeah, that's going to be a big issue as we're finishing out the price here right now for the first half of the crop insurance formulas. And, you know, again, last year, obviously, numbers were very elevated. So producers are going to really have to sit down with their banker, with their insurance, and figure out where they're going to need to be, you know, in terms of what they have to put together. Cost of production is going to be a big factor in there. Right now, obviously, at these levels, guys are very, very anxious with the profitability or the lack thereof in terms of where this crop is going to possibly be started. You know, but again, with that too, there's still a little bit of value out there. That's something we talk about in terms of the next crop. You know, understand what's price and value. If there's still good value there, you got to go find the tools that you need in your portfolio basically to protect that.
Don't like it. And I heard that crop insurance is going to be more expensive this year than it was last year.
Yeah, more than likely. And that's typically how those things kind of shake out. There's a lot of payments out this year because of the big price drop that we had. And again, so that usually has to come back at and, you know, makes things more difficult for those producers to make those decisions. But again, just look at all the tools that are available to you besides insurance that can help protect your prices or your values.
John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. Again, you can find him online, totalfarmmarketing.com, or give him a call, 800-334-9779. I got to pivot just a little bit to the livestock, John. You and I talked about it during the commercial break. The hog market really got a lot of attention last week, but now we're finding out it might not necessarily have been merited. Explain.
Yeah, last couple of weeks, we've seen really strong sales in terms of the export sales numbers, weekly highlights that come out. Last week, pork sales were a staggering 71,900 metric tons. That's a huge jump, you know, and shipments are strong, and that kind of got the market feeling pretty good about itself. Again, we saw some decent price movement, but then we come back and we hear a headline coming out through Reuters that the USDA made some errors. They're going to correct those next week, so that kind of cooled a little bit of a rally that we had. Kind of makes you wonder sometimes, you know, where the numbers are moving in that regard. You know, we were kind of talking as a group, like, boy, where'd that number come from in terms of just out of the blue? We're, you know, 83% higher week over week on pork sales. But again, sometimes it must have been a clerical error or somebody just misentered some information. The only problem with that is, unfortunately, it moves markets and, you know, can sometimes take away from opportunities.
What about cattle? What's happening with cattle these days?
cattle market, still seeing decent money flow here. And I think it's a little bit more of that retail investor as well as the managed money pushing back into that cattle market. You know, again, just reading the headlines that are out there about the tight cattle supply, strong close the end of the week, I think opens up the door for the cattle market to possibly climb a little bit higher here. I'm still cautious in this window just because of the time of year that this thing really wants to get going. But again, when the money starts stepping into a market and the strong close that we saw Friday, it wouldn't surprise me we see some more follow through, even if the fundamentals are starting to get a little quieter here just because of the seasonal window.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. This is a special week for you, near and dear to your heart. Explain.
Very much so. Shout out to those FFAers out there and the national FFA organizations. We got National FFA Week. Obviously, before I got into this position, I was an ag instructor for 16 years up in Cashton, Wisconsin. And that organization is really the foundation of a lot of the things I do today. And I encourage communities to continue to support those ag programs and those FFA students.
There you go. Shout out to Cashton. Shout out to the FFA. Good enough, John. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on a Tuesday morning to get you ahead of the trade. Again, we're coming off a three-day weekend. They're scratching and clawing, looking for news to help drive the trade. Now you're ahead of it, at least as far as directions that they can go. As we said, you can always find them online, totalfarmmarketing.com. Call them 800-334-9779. Or send him an email, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And I'll have this conversation up for you at MidwestFarmReport.com in just a couple minutes. Tomorrow, we're in Lent. How is the yellow perch supply in Wisconsin? We'll talk about it tomorrow. See you then.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
A call to action to help stop farm and farmland losses in the United States. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. The latest Census of Agriculture says farm and farmland numbers continue to fall in this country. And Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is calling for a response to stop the bleeding. Since one reason farms fail is economics, Vilsack asks,
how can we create the farm, not the farmer, but the farm, capable of creating multiple revenue streams? And that's why it's important for us to invest in climate-smart agriculture, because that creates an opportunity for farms to qualify potentially for ecosystem service market credits, which is cash coming into the farm for environmental results that can occur only on the farm. The farm then creates a second stream of income.
Vilsack commended the USDA staff who worked on the Ag Census and dropped a not-so-subtle hint that the project should be given proper attention.
The question now is not just what the researchers will do with this, not just what the statisticians will do with this, not just what the media will do with this, or those that are curious will do with this data. But what will policymakers, what will this department, what will our friends in Congress do with this information? What should they do?
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Vinson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think that King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.com.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.